seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 3 and the 10th verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And Paul's epistle to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This third chapter of Paul to the Philippians is a very sacred chapter in the sacred sense that it is all what the Lord had done in and through the dear apostle. And those things that the Lord had led him in and taught him in the vital things of God. And as we looked at in our text this morning, this first clause, that I may know him. Oh, may that be the fervent longing of each of our souls. Because if that is, the hour will come when he will make himself known to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all, just as he did to those precious characters we looked at this morning. Firstly, in the case of the Apostle Paul. Secondly, concerning the dear woman of Samaria, and then too in the case of Mary Magdalene, and then too in dear Thomas. And we did hint at too the wonderful way he made himself known to the Mad Gadarene. Well, much further could be said on this sacred subject. Let me just put one thing for your heart's meditation and mine. What is the dear Saviour to each of us today? You know, if you go to a chapel and you see a person you may not know, and you ask someone who they are. Some would say, well, that is my friend. Could you say that concerning the dear Redeemer? Is he your friend? One that sticketh closer than a brother. Others may say, well, he's of a close relationship to me. What relationship have you and I with Christ? We read in the Word of God, he's a brother born for adversity, and sticketh closer than a brother. But then there may be those that would say, well, that is my son. You know, if we are the Lord's children, we are sons and daughters of the Lord, and he is the glorious Son of righteousness to his dear people. But then to come closer, there may be those that would say, well, he is my husband. Could we say that concerning the dear Redeemer? He's promised to be a husband to his people. Oh, he has. But then, how could we not say he's my Saviour, my Redeemer? Dear Job could say it, couldn't he? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And how did he know that? Well, all those years before the coming of the dear Redeemer, the Lord made himself known to dear Job. So he could truly say, he's my Redeemer. But then finally, on this sacred subject, what about the spouse in the Song of Solomon? What could she say? He's my beloved. Well, she said too, what is my beloved compared with another beloved? He is the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. That I may know him, a precious Jesus. And then the apostle goes further, and the power of his resurrection. He desired to know more and more of the power of Christ's resurrection. And if you and I have got a real religion, we shall want to know more and more of that power, of that glorious resurrection. You will notice that the dear apostle put the resurrection in this text before the sufferings of Christ. Some have questioned that, why? But you know, there was a wonderful purpose in the apostle doing that. Because he knew what it was to need that power of his resurrection, because he knew so much of what it was to be dead and cold and lifeless and unconcerned. And what does the resurrection power do? It raises the sinner out of all their deadness, out of all their coldness, out of all their troubles. Resurrection power. Resurrection power will quicken the dead into life. You know, really, we shall know nothing of the truth of God's holy word unless we know that blessed quickening of the Spirit and resurrection power will raise the sinner right out of themselves, out of this world and all its pleasures. And oh, that we might know more and more of that blessed power of his resurrection. You know, the dear disciples knew that power of his resurrection. Let me just illustrate in one or two ways. First of all, you think of the sorrow they've been walking in. We hinted at it this morning. Those chapters from 14 through to the crucifixion, those sweet chapters in John's Gospel speak so much of the grief and the sorrow and the distress that the dear disciples were walking in. And they couldn't raise themselves out of it, could they? There may be those this afternoon that in much sorrow because of your sin, much sorrow because of the hidings of the Lord's face, much sorrow because the Lord is silent, much sorrow because the way seems rough and hard and difficult, much sorrow because of the low state of Zion, the very few that are called by grace. Many things that may be, I may not name the exact circumstance, but oh, the sorrow. And these dear disciples had been walking in it. And it was painful, wasn't it, to walk out. But oh, you look, as they saw the world rejoicing in it all. And Jesus said to them, didn't he, in that beautiful 16th chapter of John, not only in the word we named this morning, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. He speaks, doesn't he, too, of the path that they got to walk of sorrow. And how the world would rejoice, but the sorrow of his dear disciples was to be turned into joy. And you look at the resurrection power. What was it to do? Raise them right out of that sorrow. And when the Lord is pleased to hasten, and may hasten the hour, to bring you up out of that sorrow. And to see you again, that I may know him and the power, that power, you see. And when the Lord manifests that power, it'll raise you right out of the sorrow into joy. And your soul will be full. But then do we not need that resurrection power to roll away the great stones that the Lord's dear children have? It seemed to so rest on me when the text came, thinking of the power of his resurrection, excuse me, of those dear women. There's a few things I just want to briefly name concerning them as they went up to the sepulchre. It was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome. They were precious souls in the sight, you know, of the Lord. Oh, they were his dear children. And to see him taken from them and crucified, their very hearts were cut through and through by all that had taken place. And they went up to the sepulchre early that morning to anoint his precious body. And what did they say as they went? And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, there's some very precious things here. First of all, think of what you may be in today. And you may have got some very great stone. You see, the Holy Spirit has wonderfully set this forth. It was very great. If you read the history of the stones that they used to roll on sepulchres, they were saucer shaped. So like if you look at a saucer, it's curved at the bottom. And it was rolled, and then that curved part fell right into the sepulchre, so it sealed it. So to have it removed, because it was rock, it would have needed much power, far more power than these dear women ever had. Let us just look at the women first. They feared the Lord, they loved him. But they were poor, weak souls. Just like you and me. How weak we are, aren't we? How helpless we are. No power of ourselves. They got no power. And so they inquired as they went up with this very great stone before them, with the longing to anoint his precious body with the spices anointment that they had brought. But what did they say? Who? What a question, wasn't it? Shall roll us away the stone? Those very great stones that you may have, and I want to name a few in a moment, you cannot roll them away. These dear women couldn't. They said, who shall roll them away? They knew they couldn't themselves. But the dear Lord Jesus, in the power of his resurrection, was to just roll that stone away. Remove it completely. Not all the powers of death or of the grave could hold the Lord of life and glory from coming forth. The power of heaven raised him. Oh, it did. And none can stand against that power. May we never be left, and I often put this warning to one's own heart and before you, to limit his power. We read concerning the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited his power. And that's what unbelief will do, and that's what man's heart will do naturally. It limits his power. When you think back to the close of last year and the early part of this year, when we saw the power of the wind, many photos were taken of the devastation of the wind. And then you think of the power of the sea, how it washed away much of the coastline, especially in the southwest. Who controls that sea? Who controls the wind? The Lord himself, by his power. And here we have the wonderful power of the Lord to roll away this stone. Now, you to bring it right home to us, what is this very great stone you've got that you need the power of his resurrection to roll away? Is it not first of all our sin? It's a very great stone to many of God's dear children today. Their sin. Yours, mine. He doesn't trouble the world, sin doesn't. He doesn't trouble the ungodly, does he? But it troubles a real child of God. They have to prove what the hymn writer said, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. There's one in the dear Redeemer that can roll that stone away of your sin. And when he rose, you know, he rolled the stone of sin that he had to bear for every one of his dear children. He bore their sins away. Oh, what a wonderful mercy, poor soul, if you and I were to know a little of it in our souls, the sin to be rolled away. you think of Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. And some of you may feel like him. The further he went, the weight of sin got heavier and heavier until he came to the sepulchre. And what happened? The great burden just rolled from him. And who rolled it away? The dear Redeemer, in suffering, bleeding, dying and rising again on the resurrection morn. He just rolls the sin away. He said, didn't he, the Lord, many years before this, that he would cast the sins of his dear people into the depths of the sea. Oh yes. And think of that beautiful word, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before thee. Oh, those great sins. You try and measure from the east to the west, it's impossible, isn't it? So far have I removed thy transgressions. Oh, poor soul. Who shall roll us away the stone? That I may know him and the power, that power that can roll the sins away. And when the sins rolled away, there's liberty in the soul of the child of God, because they've lost the burden. They're free. They're loosed. They're let go. Nothing, and I speak it with much reverence, could hold the Lord of life and glory in that tomb. He came forth a mighty conqueror, a victorious king, to deliver his dear children, to set them free. Did he not say, while upon the earth, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. The hymn writer took it up beautifully when he said, the way to liberty is found, the Son shall make you free. And are there not those of you that long to know that sweet liberty? Freedom. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But then there may be those with affliction upon you and in your pathway. And you may say, well, I've got all this affliction upon me. No earthly doctor can roll it away. It's too great for man. But it's not too great for the Saviour. You look at the cases that were brought to him, and they were very great stones of affliction upon them. The blind man, the dear woman with the issue of blood, Simon Peter's wife's mother. And what did he do? He just rolled the affliction away. And we could name many others. And he can do that today, you know. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, we read in the Psalms. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Not some of them, all of them. It's a wonderful word, really. Delivereth them out of them all. You may say, oh, but some are brought to the end with deep afflictions upon them, but the Lord will deliver them out of it all. It may be it calls them home to glory through this affliction and delivers them from it all. And then in circumstance, in your pathway. You think of dear old Jacob when the famine came upon him. Great stone, wasn't it? Very great stone. How would they fare? But God had gone before, hadn't he? Sent Joseph down into Egypt. And you look how the stone was rolled away. And then you think of that great trial that he had to walk through regarding his sons when they had taken away Simeon, kept him in Egypt, and then came to take away Benjamin. And all the troubles seemed to stack up, didn't they, against him. It was a very great stone. He says, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. Now they come to take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. They were two great, very great stones, too great for dear old Jacob. But they weren't too great for Jacob's God, were they? Oh no. He could roll away the stone, and he did, didn't he? And you look how wonderfully the Lord did it. And sent the wagons to fetch dear old Jacob. And what did he say? It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go down into Egypt and see him before I die. And the Lord just rolled the stone away by his resurrection power. And you think in your soul and in your circumstances and in your troubles, he can roll that stone away. You look at it and it seems very great, doesn't it? You see the Holy Spirit wonderfully worded this, for it was very great. He didn't just say it was a great stone, but a very great stone. And that's how it will appear to you and to me, and it did to these dear women. Another stone you may have, looking at it in a different sense, is when you've got an exercise. It may be an exercise concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. And you look at all what there is before you and you say, well, Lord, this is a very great stone. It's a very great stone. In the eyes of many of God's dear timid children, to have to speak a little of what the Lord has done for them. But may this be of sweet encouragement to you this afternoon. You cannot remove that very great stone, and nor can any man. But the Lord can roll it away in a moment. I've told you before many times what the Lord said to me when I was waiting to speak to the church. He said to me this, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And that's all I had to do, was open my mouth. It's a wonderful thing, you know, and the Lord will fill it. It's not the volume of words, it's the reality of a few things that God has done for the sinner. And the Lord will roll the stone away. And then another stone in that blessed aspect is this. Many fear the water. I've told you before of a dear lady we used to have at Staplehurst that was such a nervous, timid lady, and at the thought of water she just trembled. And yet the Lord had so laid on her the sacred exercise of following him and the sacred waters of baptism. And all the conflict there was that went on within her, and the devil roared and said, well, you're drowning the water. And she went up to the house of God just after the exercise was to be brought to fruition and your late beloved pastor preached. And it was from this word in Isaiah's prophecy where he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you know, as soon as he read the text, the dear soul, she said to me afterwards, she said, you know, the Lord has rolled it all away. And when she went down into the water, you know, she said it was like feathers. All the fear was taken away. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You may have an exercise that seems dead and buried this afternoon. You may say, however can it come to pass? You know, Christ had told the disciples he would rise on the third day. But they soon forgot, didn't they? And unbelief crept in. They saw, and I speak it with much reverence, the dear Redeemer lay in that tomb. And what would nature say? Impossible that he'd ever rise. But on that resurrection morn, you know, nothing could hold him. The power of heaven and the resurrection was to raise him. And you may have got these things that look dead and buried. It may be concerning a husband, may be concerning a wife, and you may say, Lord, it seems impossible. It's a very great start. But you know, when the hour comes, God's time, he can just roll the stone away. Now, I don't know why the Lord's laid this on me, but you know, You approve this. In spite of all your fears, the hour will come when he'll just roll the stone away. How? By the power of his resurrection. And then just pursuing this theme of following the Lord a step further, there's two things. One is, shall I be given grace, Lord, to walk out this profession? The devil tempts you and says, but you'll make shipwreck of faith. By the power of his resurrection, he will enable you to continue, you see, and to walk out what you profess. Let our lives and acts express the very gospel we profess. But then the second thing is this. There may be those who say, but especially godly men speaking in public prayer, well, I can't do it. But the Lord can roll that stone away. Oh, he can in a moment. Go back to that word, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. It's not the length of a prayer, it's the reality of it, you see. You look in the word of God. So many of the prayers in the holy word of God were short and to the point. Like the publican's prayer. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, at a prayer meeting many years ago, and a dear man was asked to pray, and he got up, and that's all he said, and sat down. You know, if that came out of his heart, That is everything in it. There was for the publican. The Lord can roll these stones away, you see. And then there may be some of you got small things that normally men would say or women would say, well, why are they so great to you? But they're not in it, are they? You're in it. You're walking through it, and it's a very great stone to you. The temptations, the troubles, some of you young ones at school may be concerning exam, and you look at it and you say, Lord, it's too great, I can't do it. And that's what nature says. But the power of his resurrection can take you through it. Oh, it can. And then, of course, there are the enemies of the child of God. The enemies within our own heart. The enemies that surround us. Very great stones. You think of the children of Israel. The very great stone they had at the Red Sea. How could they ever be delivered from Pharaoh and all his host? You look how the Lord rolled the sea away by a strong east wind and made the way for them to go through. And you look how he rolled the enemy away, making the enemy dead upon the seashore. There's a wonderful point regarding these dear women. And we read this. And what a lesson there is to us each in it. They said, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And then what follows? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. The lesson is this, they looked. That look of faith. And where did they look? They didn't just look to the stone and to the sepulchre. Faith looked to him that had rolled it away. And there's the key, you see. Dying sinner, the dear hymn writer said, look and live. They looked. And may that be the sweet theme of our souls as we go from this house today. Where are we looking? It's no use looking to themselves, was it? There's no use looking to any man. Why? Because they'd all fail. But they had to look alone to the dear Redeemer. I looked at that hymn last evening, I think it's 253, about to Canaan, art thou bound, walk on in Jesus' might. But mark the way is holy ground and needs a heart upright. And you know, over that hymn, if I remember rightly, it's got this. Singleness of eye, you see. And that's what the dear women were given, to look. And they saw the stone rolled away. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, may the Lord favour us each to know more and more that blessed power. I've only hinted at this clause, and as I did the first this morning. But then, and just briefly, and I must leave it. And the fellowship of his suffering. To know fellowship with his suffering, so often we've got to come into the path of suffering. whether it be in affliction, whether it be in temptation, whether it be in persecution, the path of suffering. And oh, to suffer for his name's sake. You think of what it drops in, I'll name it. The Lord spoke to Ananias concerning Saul. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you think of that, what the dear apostle had to suffer for the name of Christ. But in it all, what made it so sweet and enabled him to bear it was this. And the fellowship of his sufferings. He knew what it was to view in all that he was enduring the sufferings of his dear Redeemer. What Christ endured, and to have that fellowship with him in it all. But we have to come into it to know the fellowship, you say. Oh, we do. Well, much could be said upon that. It's a sacred theme. Being made conformable unto his death. Being made conformable unto his death. That means there's a lot in us, and I just say this lovingly and reverently, that's got to be crucified. To be killed in us. Sin, the power of it. Our idols, they've all got to be killed. They've all got to be crucified. The world in us, it's got to be crucified, made conformable unto his death. And so many things we could name, we've got to be crucified too. We think of that beautiful word the dear apostle spoke to the Galatians. It's a word I often think about, you know. And what did he say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live to the praise, he could speak of it, the praise of God. Oh, he could. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then, of course, in conclusion, and I shall just be brief, but the great stone of death. Every one of us will have to come into that great stone and be faced with it. But oh, may we prove, as these dear women did, as we come down into the river, the Lord has rolled the stone away. He's taken the sting out of death. So the soul can be eternally safe in Jesus. To crown him Lord of all for a vast eternity. Amen.